Well, go with me today in your outline to Acts chapter 3, verse 13. We're talking about claiming God's promises, and I probably could have come up with a better title than that in relation to what I'm going to share with you today. But I've had several people talk to me this week and say certain things, and I said, wait till Sunday morning, I'm going to teach you how to get it back. You ever lost anything? Now, I don't mean just you misplaced it. I mean the devil stole from you. It don't matter how he did it. But if the devil's ever stole from you, wouldn't you be interested in knowing how to get it back? Not old covenant style, but new covenant style. I love the old covenant. I love the Old Testament. There's some wonderful things there. There's some things prior to the old covenant. But I love the new covenant. So we're going to learn today, new covenant style. Claiming God's promises. Matthew 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. Now Peter's talking here, and Peter's saying, here's what happened. We glorified Jesus, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers. But you delivered up Jesus, you denied in the presence of Pilate, and you were determined, who was determined to let Him go. Now watch this, verse 14. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer, which was Barabbas, to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Peter said we were there. And His name, everybody say His name. And His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong. Now, they're talking about a man previously to this story that I'm going to tell you about in a moment. And His name, through faith in His name. I want you to hear that. His name, through faith in His name. It's not just His name, but faith in His name has made this man strong. Whom you see and know. Yes. The faith which comes through Him has given Him this perfect soundness. Permanent. I love that. Perfect soundness. In the presence of you all. You all see that stuff He's saying. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. Did what in ignorance? Crucified the Son of God. As did also your rulers. But those things of which God foretold by the mouth of all His prophets, that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. How many glad it's fulfilled? Amen. Amen. Verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that, now watch this, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Have we experienced times of refreshing? We have. And there's more to come. There is more to come. And I'm going to prove to you today that even God declares there's more. We've been declaring there's more, but God even declares there's more. I'm going to show you today. All right, verse 20. And that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Some texts read Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who was ordained for you before. Whom heaven must receive until, everybody say until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began. Now that passage alone right there, just 13 through 21, there's a mouthful right there. Earlier in Acts 3, we find the story where Peter and John were going into the temple, and we've talked about this in the past. They were going there to pray, and they found a lame man sitting at the gate of the temple begging for his living. I want you to hear this. Begging for his living. I remember somebody prayed for me one time. I think I had just got out of the hospital years ago, and these people were from another faith, and they believed in Jesus. But they were praying, and as they were praying, they said, Jesus, we beg you. Do you need to beg Jesus? No. But this man was sitting there begging for his living. Look with me in verse 6 through 9, which it tells about this story. Then Peter said to this man who was begging, "Silver and gold have I not," or "I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." I don't have what you're asking for, but I do got something that you really need bad. Anybody ever found anybody that you had something and you knew they needed it real bad? All right? Watch this. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, everybody say immediately. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. So there was people around who saw this miracle. Praise God, we've witnessed miracles. Also, they knew this man. And Peter was talking about that in our first passage. Now hear this. As New Covenant believers, God does not want us sitting around begging for the things that he has already given to us, which were paid for by the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus. As New Covenant believers, you have a right, a God-given right, to expect God's restoring power to restore to you all the things the devil has stolen from you. Maybe he stole them because you just didn't know better. You didn't know how to stand. Maybe he stole them because of the way you pray. Maybe the way you pray is inaccurate. And when I say pray, if I were to ask you to pray for me, here's what I would mean. I would mean speak the word. I wouldn't mean go off into some religious prayer and, "Oh, thou great God of heaven, almighty creator of the universe, thou shouldest and wouldest." That's not what I'm asking you to do. When I ask you to pray for me, I'm asking you to take the word of God and proclaim it over me. That's what I call prayer. All right? And so if the devil has stolen something from you, if somehow he has stolen in your health, I've been there. Watch this. Listen to this. If he has stolen your marriage, your finances, your peace, your protection, or a disaster has somehow taken something from you, you can expect God to restore what has been taken from you. But we're going to learn something about the way God restores. God don't restore the way we think about restoring. Here, I took your lawnmower, I'm going to give it back. And you get the lawnmower that's been used a bit, and they get it back. You ever had anybody borrow a tool from you? And when you got your tool back, it might be working. It might not be working. The cord might be cut. Remember, I bought a brand new power saw, $225 worm drive power saw. And the first thing that happened on the job, somebody said, "Can I use your saw?" "Sure." Cut the cord off. I get my saw back. Not as good as it was when I loaned it. Well, how many of you are looking for what has been stolen from you to get back equal value or even less? Well, that's not the way God works. I'm going to show you how God did it in the Old Covenant, and I'm going to show you that He is far better than what the Old Covenant did. Look with me in Acts 3, verse 20 and 21 again. And it says, "And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached before you." Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Telling about Jesus. Old Covenant, telling about Jesus. And it says, "whom heaven must receive until," everybody say until. Must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, I imagine I'm going out on a limb here. I'm pretty good at that. I'm going to rename my ministry Out on the Limb Ministries. And this may be talking about some end time stuff. This may be talking about some stuff that you may say, "Well, that's, you know, Revelation stuff." But I want to show you today that it's talking about before Jesus comes stuff. Now, if it's before Jesus comes stuff, then I get to participate in that. Probably even after Jesus comes, there's some stuff I get to participate in. But this is some before Jesus comes stuff. All right? This verse tells us that before Jesus comes back for his church, we will experience the times of restoration of all things. Not only that, but he said times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. When you need a refreshing, what do? Well, I go home and take a, you know, get in the shower and lay down for a couple hours and I'm refreshed. That's not the kind of refreshing he's talking about. You can do that. But man, you can go before the presence of the Lord and you can begin to worship Jesus and you can say, my head's clouded, my head's thinking, oh, this problem, this mess, the family's doing this, this garbage is going on, don't have enough finances, I have pain in my body, and woe is me. But you can, even though that's going on up here, you can say out of your mouth, thank you, Jesus, I bless you, I worship you, Jesus. I'm not paying attention to that other stuff, but I'm worshiping you, Jesus, because I am seeking you first. You are first. You are first. Above all things, you are first. And I'm focusing on you, Jesus, instead of the other stuff. As a matter of fact, when we put all of our focus on the mess, when we put all of our focus on the hurts of the past, when we put all of our focus on the garbage, usually we get ate up by the stuff. So we have to focus on Jesus if we're going to get past where we've been prior to that moment. What's the greatest gift that God ever gave? His Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest gift that God gave was his Son Jesus. How many glad that God gave Jesus? Oh man, am I glad. Hallelujah. Well, since Jesus is the greatest gift that God ever gave, to withhold any other gift to mankind would lessen the greatest gift he ever gave. Now hang with me. Don't get upset at me. Just hang with me. This verse did not say, for God so loved the world that he gave them money. This verse did not say, for God so loved the world that he gave them health. We get all that stuff, but we've been making the stuff the focus. The body of Christ has made the stuff the focus. If they're a prosperity church, then prosperity is the focus. If they're having prayer lines and praying for the sick all the time, then that becomes the focus. If they got food pantries, then that becomes the focus. If there's one thing a individual church does, generally that becomes the focus. And we can do all of that stuff and we can have all of that stuff, but Jesus must be the focus. Jesus must be number one. Jesus is number one. Jesus is number one. Jesus is number one. He's number one. Right? Amen. I love the little demonstration we've seen about the circle and all the other circles. I will never forget that as long as I live. Right there, that circle in the middle, that's Jesus. And they're speaking in tongues and there's miracles and there's all this other stuff and there's prosperity and food pantries and clothes pantries and reaching, going, witnessing, all that stuff. But Jesus must be the center of attention at all times. That's what I'm preaching to you today. Now, so God gave his Son. That's the greatest gift. Here's an example. This may be as goofy can be, but it's the best I can come up with. If God tells you to give something away to someone, how many's ever had God tell you to give something away? We have given automobiles. We've given clothing. We've given money. Not bragging about nothing because y'all have done the same thing. We've all given stuff away. Loved my TV, but God said, give that one away. And, you know, and say, well, you know what, God? I like this big thing, man. I love it, Jesus. I got this little bitty one. How about I just give this one away? This one don't really work that well, but how about I give this one? Jesus said, I know you want me, Jesus, but I mean, there's this little one over here, and I want to give that away. I want you to hang on with me. That's why God didn't give anything other than his Son. He gave his best gift. Now, watch this. This is not a giving message, so just watch this. God tells you to give something away, something of value to you. And someone else needs something of lesser value that you don't really need. And you say, I'm not giving that away. They don't deserve it. And we're talking about God telling you to give something away. Here's my best thing. Man, I really like this. Why can't I give something different away, God? Because this over here doesn't really mean anything to me. But you know, I just think I'll just be stingy anyway. To substitute a lesser gift for the better gift lessens the value of the best gift. God didn't say, I'm going to give you money. God said, I'm going to give you my son. Because guess what happened when you got his son? You got all the other stuff. I need to tell you this again. I was standing in a tent meeting. I was one of the speakers in this big crusade. And God said to me, what do you want? Several of you have heard this. God said, what do you want? And I thought, I know that's a loaded question, so I'm not answering. And I heard God about 10 minutes later say, son, what do you want? And I said to him, Father, I want your heart. Now, partially I said that because I knew that was probably the best answer as opposed to other answers I could have come up with. But in part, I knew that was the right answer because I realized this at that moment, and that's been probably 20, maybe even 25 years ago. I understood then, and I've had to learn little by little to keep coming back to that and keep trying to practice that. But what I learned was this, that if I get God's heart, I get everything attached to it. Well, what in the world makes you think that that preacher just wants my money? I just work around here and that's all that preacher wants. He just wants to work me to death. I've had preachers say that to me. Hey, you're a carpenter. You've got skills. I might as well use you. And I heard those words. I might as well use you. Boy, that use you, that's all I heard. We've all been there. But what God wants is not your stuff. He wants your heart. Because if God gets your heart, He gets everything else. Everything else you have doesn't mean as much as giving Him your heart. Well, if I get God's heart, I want to crawl up in His lap. I want God's heart. I want to hear His heartbeat. We've been through that. So if I get God's heart, I get all the other stuff. So there's no gift as value. God didn't lessen His gift. Let's don't lessen the gift that God tells us to give. Romans 8:32. See, God gave His best gift, no other gift. No other gift. Health, wealth, protection, peace could ever hold a shadow in terms of value to the gift of Christ that He gave us. Romans 8:32. It says, He who did not spare. I want you to see those words. He who did not spare. He didn't spare anything. He didn't hold nothing back. He who did not spare His own Son. There was no other gift that would have done what that value of the gift of Jesus Christ has done for the world. No other gift in heaven could have done that. He gave His Lamb, His Son, the spotless Lamb. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Say for me. How shall He not with Him. What does it mean with Him? How shall He not in the giving of His Son also freely give us all things? Everybody say all things. Now I can't get away from the Word of God. It says all things. Freely give. Freely. Freely give. There means there's nothing else you can do to get that except say, yeah, I say yes to You, Jesus. There is nothing else you got to do. Is there some things we need to do? Yes. We're not talking about that today. Yes, I'm not saying there's nothing we don't have a responsibility with as a Christian. But what I'm saying to you is God gave His best gift so that we could freely have all the other stuff that we need in life. I want to refer back to Matthew 6:33 one more time. If you'll read that whole passage of Matthew 6, you will find that He talks about, here's the birds of the air. They never worry about where I'm going to get a meal. Here's the grass of the field. I mean, that grass is just going to be cut down and put in an oven and cooked. They ain't worried about nothing. And all we do is, He said, do not worry. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to put on? The necessities of life. A place to live is a necessity of life. How many of you have ever lost a place to live? The devil stole it, all right? You need food. How many has ever not been able to buy food? You need something to wear. How many of you couldn't afford to buy clothes and you were ashamed of the clothes you had and you knew something needed to change? So I'm trying to pursue clothes and I'm trying to pursue food and I'm trying to pursue a place to live and I need a car to drive. They took my car. I didn't know any better. Maybe I made some mistakes, but the devil stole my car. Then He said later in that passage, He said, take no thought saying. I've been thinking about it. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Don't let it go past that. What am I going to put on? Where am I going to live? What am I going to drive? How am I going to buy gas? I've been thinking that. What do I need to do? Seek first the kingdom of God. But then he says, do not take any thought saying. Now I'm going to verbalize the problem. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now I'm going to verbalize the problem. Oh, my kidney hurts and my liver hurts and my heart hurts and my and that's called an organ recital, by the way. And this hurts and that hurts and everything out of your mouth is this problem and there's that problem and all I got's this mess and nobody cares about me and I'm never going to make it and it's never going to work and you know what I mean? Just God, be honest with you. You might as well just stop right there and say, I praise you, Satan. Are you listening to me? You might as well just stop right there and say, I give you glory, Satan. Look at all the havoc you caused in my life. He said, take no thought saying. How are we going to fix this? Well, there's an answer. Seek first the kingdom. His righteousness. All those things that I'm not going to verbalize are going to be added to me. Now, I've had some things stolen from me in my life. I'm not going to tell you all about it. But I've had some stuff taken from me. Faye and I, we've had some stuff stolen. You've had some stuff stolen. Some of you have had a bad marriage. Some of you have lost houses. Some of you went out one morning to get your car to go to work and there was somebody out there and just hauled your car off because you couldn't afford to pay for it. You've been in some real life situations. Well, did you know that you can call that back and not only get back what you lost? I'm not talking about, you know, if I was divorced and I had a different wife before Faye, I probably wouldn't want her back. So I'm not calling back an old spouse, you know. But what I'm saying is God can give you better than what you had before. The reason your marriage went sour is because you had a bad relationship and you didn't know how to communicate and the devil came in there and messed things up because you started, it's just like this, he is feeding you junk and you start verbalizing it. Well, I feel this way. Well, let me ask you a question. Does that what I feel line up to what he says? The Word of God. Oh, but I have feelings, Pastor. Feelings. Whoa. I have feelings, Pastor. I have feelings. Yes, and I appreciate that you have feelings, but what does Jesus say? Take no thought saying. Well, I got a mess. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody can even... Do you know how often I hear that from folks? I get phone calls and people say, nobody's ever been through what I've been through. Wrong. Man, I tell you, you ought to read some more in the Scriptures because it says, this ain't the only, you ain't the only one that's been through this. There's other people in the world that's faced the same stuff. I don't even know where we're at now. Hallelujah. Amen. We're on track. Amen. We got sidetracked, but it was actually the right track. Praise God. He didn't spare his own son, but he offered him up or delivered him up for us all. How shall he not, with the offering up of his son, freely give us, say, freely give me, all things. So what do you need? What has been stolen in your life? What has been taken away from you? God said it belongs to you. I'm telling you today that you can get it back. You can get a relationship back. You can get all the, you can get clothing. You can get it all. But don't let that be your focus. Let Jesus be your focus. And did you know that Jesus doesn't give prosperity? Did you know that Jesus is prosperity? Jesus didn't say, I'm going to give you a new kind of peace. He said, my peace I give you. Did you know when you're needing a healing and you're seeking after healing, and you're saying, Jesus, I need a healing. How about you just hold Jesus close to your heart, because Jesus is healing. Jesus is grace. Jesus is the whole, if I can say it this way, the whole ball of wax. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. The blessing of God is not a gift to be obtained by faith. Now watch it, preacher. We're a faith church. It's not a gift to be obtained by faith, but received by faith. Because I've got a devotion coming I'm working on about how people are just these faith people. Man, I'll tell you, these faith people, these faith preachers, just going out, got a battle, got a fight. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent got to take it by force, and we got to give it. I got to fight, intercede. How about entering into God's rest and fellowshipping with Jesus and letting the stuff be added to you, even though the stuff you weren't believing for? I am going to write one and maybe make some folks mad, but I'm writing it. I'm telling you. Fight. Got to get it. Got to go after it. I want that Jesus. Why don't you just want Jesus? He's got all the stuff. Pursue his heart. All right? So we don't get God's blessings. They're not obtained by faith, but received by faith. And the greatest gift of all is, for God so loved, he gave. Amen. So what a hope this promise in Acts 3, verse 20 and 21 gives. And I said it probably entails some other things. I've got a little piece of the pie here, but we're just going to take that little piece and run with it this morning. Not only that Jesus will return, but before he returns, he wants to restore some stuff. Now, if Jesus restores some stuff when I'm in heaven, it really don't make a lot of difference. I'm not taking my car to heaven. I remember giving away... Oh, never mind. You ever just obeyed God and then somebody abused the gift? It's their problem, not yours. You ever given money to a church in the past and they misused it and just did... That was not your problem. You gave it to God. God said in this life, in the book of Mark, said you can have houses and lands and mothers and fathers. I have a mother and father. They're still alive. Faye's mother and father are passed on, but I have a mother and father. I don't really have much of a relationship with them, and I say that respectfully even if they hear this CD. But I have spiritual mothers and fathers out the ear. I have spiritual family out the ear. I have spiritual brothers and sisters. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm loaded when it comes to family. I'm seeking Jesus. All right, so he says he will restore to us, the church, the things that belong to us. We must believe, we receive, walk away, let it be, enter into his rest. And I wish I was preaching on that this morning, but that's not the message today. Now, when I was a little boy, I was kindergarten, first grade. I went to this Sunday school class and they told me this. They said these words, Jesus is coming soon. Anybody ever heard that before? Boy, it's been a long time. I'm not a little boy anymore. I was probably, I don't know, 5, 6 years old, and I'm 55 right now. And Jesus, you're taking a long time to come soon. Well, guess what? His coming is a lot closer now than it was 50 years ago. Amen. So he's still coming soon, except he's just going to come a little sooner now than he was 55 years ago. Hallelujah. It's closer today. And I tell you, I believe it's even closer than we think. But while we're waiting for his return, many are being deceived by the lies of Satan at every turn and stealing some stuff. Now, I'm not praising Satan because he's a jerk. I don't like him. As a matter of fact, I've got a devotion coming out called Why Satan Doesn't Deserve a Capital Letter in His Name. I will not put a capital letter when it comes, and spell check just gives me fits over that. And I wish I could fix that sucker, but I can't. I am not putting a capital letter on Satan's name. He don't deserve a capital letter. I'm writing a devotion about that. He don't deserve it. He ain't getting it. But God, and you know what the secular, the psychology says? Even if people believe in a God, why do they have to lift him up so much and try to capitalize his name? Well, I just X'd out of that and went to something else. I listen to that nonsense. Look at Hebrews 1, verse 3. Who Jesus, being the brightness of God's glory, brightness, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things, everybody say all things, look how they're upheld by the power, by the word of his power. And when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So where is Jesus right now? Well, he's on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's on the right hand of the throne of God. He's in heaven. And I told you the other day, I won't get into no debate about where heaven is. I have a king living in my heart. Every king deserves a throne, so there must be a throne in my heart. And if there's a king sitting on the throne and Father's there and the Holy Spirit's there, then if you want to pray way up there, millions of light years away, you go for it. Just go for it. I'm never without the king. Never, 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 never. Well, looking at this scripture, it tells me then that all things are upheld by the word of his power. We need to be speaking the word. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Not going to bless us, but has blessed us. Past tense and now. Everybody say, has blessed us. Say, I am blessed. Says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And that word blessing also is translated gift. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. God has granted us great promises, of which many have been granted under the new covenant. Thank God for the old covenant, but thank God for the new covenant. I'm telling you, I'm still hanging on them words, it's finished. So the actions of Jesus purchased much more for us than just a free ride to heaven. So many Christians are looking for that free ride to heaven. I just want to go to heaven. Someone actually said this to me, why do we got to believe God when we got a chronic illness? Why do we got to believe God for healing? Why don't we just die and go to heaven? Now, I know I'm not very nice about that, but I tell them, well, go ahead and die and go to heaven. If that's what you want, just go for it. You don't have to live. If you choose to die, you can die. But if you want to live, I feel like Peter and John at the gate of the temple, beautiful. What you're wanting, I can't give you. But what I do have, I can give you. In the name of Jesus, cancer be gone. In the name of Jesus, tuberculosis be gone. In the name of Jesus, whatever name be gone. Rise up and be healed in Jesus' name. So you can give the right thing. Hallelujah. All right. Look at John 10 and 10. We use the scripture a lot, but I like it. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. So know this, the thief never visits you unless he's going to steal, kill, or destroy something in your life. Never, 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 never does he come for any other reason. Jesus came to give you life and that more abundantly. All right, let's move on. If you're attacked in any area by the devil, if he's stolen anything, you can proclaim God's word and say, I'm getting it back. Now, there was a principle in the Old Testament. And under the old covenant law, if a thief was discovered, so in other words, how many of you ever seen Christmas movies and somebody stealing it at night, coming at night to steal the presents and to get caught? Well, at the end of the old covenant, if you found the thief, if you caught the thief in the act or caught him or recognized that he stole from you, the Bible said that that thief must give sevenfold, must return sevenfold from what he, now that's the old covenant. So in other words, he stole onefold, but he's got to return sevenfold. It's old covenant. Well, don't you believe that under the new covenant, God even outdoes the old covenant? Don't you believe that if he had to return sevenfold in the old covenant, that God just go totally off the charts? Are we not professing abundance? That God will give me, come to me in abundance, come to me in abundance. Amen. It says, verse 20, that he may send Christ Jesus, who was ordained before you. He was preordained for this job. And it said, whom heaven must receive and has heaven received him. Yes, he's in heaven. Wherever heaven is, he's there. Until the times of restoration of all things. So that means Jesus is going to come back. Now, I don't care this morning if you believe we're going through a tribulation, or you believe we're going in the middle of the great tribulation, or you believe we're going before. It don't make me any difference. What is the difference between going before, in the middle, or after the great tribulation? Is you better be ready. That's it. Just be ready. But it really doesn't matter to me. The point is this. Whether the restoration of all things is after the tribulation or before the tribulation, I just know this. It's during the time from when Christ left till the time Christ returns. All right? So let's think back to the man at the gate of the temple. Beautiful. We're almost done. He was begging for his living. God doesn't want you and I sitting outside the temple or outside the body of Christ begging and pleading for the things that have already been given to us. That's why you can't pray and say, Jesus or God, would you bind the devil in the name of Jesus? No, you can't pray that because that ain't scripture. You bind him. Now, I don't do much binding of the devil. I kind of figure, we've been through this before, but I kind of figure Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. The devil's got a big mouth. He's a man on a microphone. That's about all there is to him. He's a phony, a liar. The Bible said the father of all liars. There's no truth in him. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he still intends to do the same thing. But he sends out these stinking little lies. You're no good. You're never going to make it. You're going under. It's never going to work for you. Why even try? Just give up. Quit. It's over. Never going to make it. He sends out these stupid little lies, and the truth is, boy, can I bind them lies. I can bind them lies. You say, well, the Bible says to bind the devil. No, it doesn't. It just says whatever you bind. It doesn't say bind the devil. It says whatever you bind on earth will be bound. And whatever you loose on earth, what is he saying? Whatever you stop with your words will be stopped, and whatever you release with your words will take place. That's what he's saying. All right? Now, when he says whatever you bind on earth will be bound and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed, he is saying that whatever you stop with your words will be stopped and whatever you release with your words will manifest. It will manifest. Whether it's good or bad, whether it's right or wrong, you get what you say. We believe that, right? Why do we believe that? It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. So as believers, we have a right to expect God to restore to us the things the devil has stolen from us. So we should begin to declare that we will not allow the devil to rob from us anymore. If the devil's robbed from you and you recognize it, then you need to say, I'm not going to allow it anymore. I am not going to put a... You're not stealing from me no more. You say, let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever walked to school and on your way to school there was always a bully? And this bully was always trying to get you to back down. This bully's tough. And, well, how many of you ever came to that place where you said, all right, I've put up with this for the last 2 years, and I'm telling you, I'm not putting up with it no more. I don't care what you do to me. You want to fight, let's fight. If you want, whatever you want. But I am not putting up with it anymore. Well, how about this, since we all relate to that? How about this? How about we just say to the devil, look, whatever you've stolen in the past, okay, but I'm just telling you, you're not doing that anymore. And furthermore, I want my stuff back in abundance. I had this old broken down car, and it got stolen. And so, you know what? I don't visualize that broken down car. I visualize, come to me in abundance. Come to me better. Come to me. It's not about cars. It's not about that. I'm not preaching about that. I'm just saying if the devil's stolen some stuff from you, you have the right to claim to get your stuff back and even better than what you had. Even better than what the old covenant did. We're new covenant believers. Amen? We are blood-bought, born again, saints of God. Pay everything that Jesus did for us was paid for with his blood. Matter of fact, James 4:7 says, resist the devil. It doesn't say snuggle up to him. It said resist the devil, and guess what he'll do? Flee from you. Resist him. Tell him in the name of Jesus, I'm not putting up with you anymore. Back off. Back off. I remember the other day I told you this, but I want to get this to you because this is how you need to treat stuff that comes against you in life. I remember the other day I was about a mile from the church and it started raining so hot, thunder and light and just coming down. And I said, what do you think you're doing? You will back off and then I don't mind you raining, but you will not storm. When I get to the church, I'm going to get out of my car and I am not going to get soaking wet. And I'm telling you, the rain backed off. Well, how come we can't relate that to a devil? I caught you. I see what you've been doing in my life, and you're not doing it no more. I'm taking the Word of God, and I'm proclaiming the Word of God is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you, and I am not putting up with it no more. Furthermore, I want my stuff back. But you know that good stuff being held back there? I want that stuff. I don't want the sevenfold. I want better. Jesus' blood purchased for me my warehouse full of stuff that is in top-notch condition, and it's mine. So I'm taking it back. I'm taking what's mine. You don't like it, devil? Who cares? I'm getting it back. I know this is different, but y'all are going to be okay. Nobody will have to go to therapy or nothing like that. I want to read to you verse 21 in the Amplified. Whom heaven must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all His holy prophets in ages past, from the most ancient times in the memory of man. The New Century Version. But Jesus must stay in heaven until, everybody say until, the time comes when all things will be made right again. How many of you need some stuff to be made right? You've been believing, but you need it to manifest. It said God told about this time long ago when He spoke through His holy prophets. One more passage of Scripture to go to. Romans 8, verse 19. Now listen, some of you have had some things stolen from you and it's left an emptiness in you. And that emptiness is crying out saying, I got to have it back. I need that. This was stolen from me. I'm hurting because it was taken from me. It would be the equivalent of going out to your driveway one morning and your car had been stolen and it's just gone. The police can't find it and you need a ride to work. And to go finance another car and go through all of that, how am I going to do that, God? And there's this emptiness like, panic, what am I going to do? So there's a longing inside you. Don't let that longing become your focus. Don't let that emptiness become your focus. There's a better way. Look at the Scriptures in Romans 8, verse 19. New Living Translation. For all creation. Say all creation. Let me ask you, what does all creation entail? Does that include you? Are you part of God's creation? Then it's talking about you. For all creation is waiting eagerly. I thought how waiting and eagerly doesn't really fit together. I'm waiting, but I'm eager. There's another translation that says it better. Waiting anxiously. I'm waiting, but I'm anxious. I thought, well, God, that's kind of a double negative or opposites. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day. What future day? A day that's not today. A moment that's not this moment. It may be one moment ahead of me. When God will reveal who His children really are. Well, but God has a lot of children. How about those that walk in the blessing? Those that know God gave His Son and freely gives them all things. Those who know and will stand on His Word. It says, against its will, against its will. Who's He talking about? All creation. Your will. Do you know there are Christians that who, against God's will, God's wanting to do something for them, but they're saying, God don't heal. I was finding somebody on the internet the other day and said, I need prayer, and this is happening, that's happening. I just grabbed and ran with it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I call this healed and this fixed and that's prayer. And I got a couple of emails out and said, well, we know God can. I was praying this powerful, man. I was inspired. I mean, like the anointing was there. I prayed this prayer. And well, we know God can. He does more than can. He does. He's done it. All creation and its will, everything on earth was subjected to God's curse. All creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children. Oh, so you mean so there are other people who really want to hook up with us? Oh, yeah. In glorious freedom, we got freedom. Oh, yeah. From death and decay. Did you see not just death, but did you see decay? Death, that's going to happen. You know, we're 120, 30, 40, 50 years. I mean, whatever, you know. But that decay thing, there's some stuff that's decaying. We should be getting better. God wants us better. Now, hang on for the climax of this message. For we know that all creation has been groaning. There's an emptiness. There's a longing. This thing's been stolen from me. I'm groaning as in the pains of childbirth. Right up to the present time. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, also groan for grown to be released from pain and suffering. And I do not believe for one second he's talking about it. If I can just make it till I get to heaven, all the suffering will be over. Let me tell you something. Pain and suffering is a state of mind. Oh, I don't mean ignore pain, mind over matter. That's not what I'm talking about. How about God's Word? Man, this thing works. Also grown to be released from pain and suffering. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as His children. Let me ask you this. Have we not been given our full rights as children? What else is there? Leave this life and go to the next. Everything Jesus paid for, and I want to ask you, did Jesus leave anything out? Did He cover everything or did He not? Is there something that Jesus just didn't give? He just fell short somehow. I've made up my mind. I'm believing God for miracles. I'm going to stay focused on Jesus, but some of you need miracles. And we're going to pray. We're going to speak God's Word over you, and we're going to try to teach you and inspire you till you start speaking God's Word over you and get the miracle that you need. If your health has been deteriorated or decayed in somehow, God wants that to be restored and better health than you had. And I want to tell you something. I know there are a few things I cannot yet do right now, today. But man, I feel a whole lot better in many ways than I did years ago before I ever was hurt. I'm telling you, that decay thing, that's out the door. Death, we'll get there when we get there. I'm never going to face death because I'm just going to leave this life and go to the next. Never going to face death. Jesus paid for it. But that decay stuff, some of you got pain in your body right now. Some of you got a pile of problems. You ever had that pile of mail you just didn't get to because of other business? Some of you got a pile of problems at home. Some of you got a mess waiting for you. You're at church and like, boy, I'm glad I'm at church because that's a relief from all that stuff. But yet in your heart, there's a void and emptiness, and you're carrying that thing. Jesus paid for that thing. Jesus paid for it. He paid for it. He paid for it. He paid for it. Hallelujah. I'm not getting worse. I'm getting better. Matt Joyce Meyer says, I'm not getting bitter. I'm getting better. Say, I'm not getting bitter. I'm getting better. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as His children. Now, this was Romans. And this was Paul's rendition of this whole scenario. He says, including the new bodies He has promised to us. Okay? So when I die, this physical body dies, I'm going to get a new body. But I think what he's saying to me is there's some stuff you get now, including when you die, you're going to get a new body. See, I'm not waiting to get the stuff when I die and go to heaven. If you want to wait till then, if you're believing for a new car, guess what? You're never going to get it in heaven. If you're waiting for that new house and that's all you're pursuing, guess what? You ain't going to get it in heaven. Oh, don't give me that. I got a mansion on the hilltop thing. Don't give me that. Don't. You know what? Someone said, just give me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I don't care if it's a cabin, a mansion, or nothing. I'm going to be with Jesus. That's all I care about. You want a mansion? You want to be that to be your focus, your whole Christian life? When I die, I'm getting a mansion, praise God. I don't really care. I'm sorry. I don't care. I want to be with Jesus. I don't know about all that other stuff. Streets of gold, Bible says it's there. All kinds of pearls and all the pearly gates, the Bible says it's there. All I know is I'm going to see one person. And I want y'all to be there, but if I don't get to see you, I'm not really going there to see you. I'm seeing you. I'm spending life with you now. I get to spend all the time with you now. I want to go see Jesus face to face. Hallelujah. And they see it. Get your praise on. Hear my preacher tell him about the coming of the Lord. He's coming. We're going. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord, for those new bodies. But man, there's some stuff waiting for me right now here in this life. Oh, glory to Jesus. Here's what I want to say to you in closing today. Heaven stands ready, is waiting to hear you stake your claim for the restoration that God has promised. Now, here's heaven. I'm not God. But here's heaven. If you believe heaven's up somewhere, okay, this is for you. Here's heaven. And heaven's standing there like this. Now, you know heaven's got it all. You know heaven can just, God, just go get them. Angels, go. But you're down here saying, I wish I had a miracle. The devil stole some stuff from me. Life hadn't been fair to me. It's all a mess. And what you're proclaiming is what you keep getting. But heaven is waiting for you to declare the word of the Lord out of your mouth so heaven can jump on it and restore to you what's been stolen. Heaven's waiting for you to speak. And I also want to tell you this. You need to hear this morning. If you won't move, heaven won't move. I don't really like that, Pastor. Well, I'm sorry to hurt your feelings this morning. Maybe you do need therapy. If you won't claim God's word, heaven won't claim it for you. Whatever your belief system is, I'm telling you, I'm believing there's some, Faye and I are in agreement, there's some stuff that's been stolen from us. We knew the devil was the instigator, and we're getting it back. We ain't looking for even Stephen either. We are looking for a new covenant restoration. If I was you, I'd wake up every morning and say, God, I'm looking for a miracle today. I'm focused on you, Jesus, but I'm expecting something. And it don't have to be for me. Somebody else needs a miracle, Jesus. I'm believing you. I'm expecting. I believe that God promises us that there is such a time of restoration of all things for the body of Christ. I'm looking for it now. Getting it restored to me when I get to heaven won't do no good. I'm looking for it now. But here's the deal. Under the old covenant, when God restored, His people always received much more than they had lost. Well, how much better you think God's going to do under the new covenant? Hallelujah. Will you take back what the devil's stolen? And I'm seeing people going out here today and just like, I'm tearing it up, man. You messed with the wrong guy. I'm tearing it up. Will you proclaim God's word over your life for a better future? God wants you to have a restoration now. Now's the time. Today's the day. Amen? Say this with me. I will not back down. I will not give in. I will resist the lies of the enemy. I take back right now everything that has been stolen from me. Satan is a liar. Satan is a thief. And I proclaim the restoration of everything that has been stolen from me. To be returned in abundance and with interest. Now, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We worship you. We glorify you. Praise God. I anticipate the inevitable, the supernatural intervention of God. I expect a miracle. I expect a miracle. I expect a miracle. Hook up with Jesus. He'll give you more than you ever dreamed of having. I know that statement sounds like Joel Osteen, but I don't care. He'll give you more than you ever imagined. But just focus on Jesus. Seek first God's kingdom. Amen. Praise God. Anybody get anything out of this today?